Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
Well, a lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following every Bulls game this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls _ Peck. You can follow us at Locked On Bulls. My co-host Jordan Malley is Jordan C. Malley. Shoot us an email if you like at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. Hit us up on Facebook, Facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. And of course, that text and voicemail line always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, 331-979-1369. Today being Wednesday, we will get to some mailbag content later in the episode. But first and foremost, wanted to give a quick take on the latest edition of the Bulls City Edition jerseys. We just got the unveiling earlier this morning, Wednesday morning, as the Bulls are gearing up to wear their City Edition jerseys for the first time this season, hosting Derrick Rose, Blake Griffin, and the Pistons at the UC tonight. And this is kind of an 0-for-2, in my opinion. Not on the jerseys themselves, but on the jersey and the unveiling. So, a little bit of confusion. The Bulls have already several times this season worn their Statement Edition jerseys, which are different than the City Edition jerseys. The Statement Editions being the black with the subtle pinstripes that are sort of a fresh take on the old black with red pinstripes Bulls jerseys of the late 90s dynasty, which lots of Bulls fans were clamoring to bring for the team to bring those back. So they bring those back with a slight alteration on the pinstripes. But that's the Statement Edition jersey. These City Edition jerseys that they unveiled this morning are the third installment of such jersey. The first one from 2 years ago being the white with red and blue, the you know, sky blue trim with the old Chicago cursive style on the front and the blue stars along the side. I really love those. I bought myself a Markkanen jersey in that first installment of the City Editions. I think they're some of the freshest Bulls jerseys we've seen, and one of their more well-done adaptations or remodels of just like the classic Bulls jersey of red, white, or alternative road black, which the team has not really strayed that far from when you see so many different teams reiterating their jerseys all the time. The Bulls logo and the Bulls jerseys are classic. For the most part, they haven't messed with them. It's one thing that they've done well. But I loved the first season of that City Edition jersey, the white with the Chicago cursive. Last year's City Edition jerseys were the ones that were black with the Chicago stars across the chest, with the, again, the sky blue and the red trim, but with a black background. I liked those too. I didn't like them as much as the City Edition jerseys from the prior year, the white with the Chicago cursive, but they were pretty strong. I haven't bought one yet. I might someday. We'll see. But I did like them. I thought it was tough to follow up the amazing first City Edition, but they did a pretty good job with those second ones. This season's City Editions, I think they're disgusting. In case you haven't seen it yet, you can go on Chicago Bulls official Twitter account and see some close-ups of the jerseys. I'll get to that Bulls Twitter account in a second. But essentially, they are monochromatic of that same sky blue. sort of, you know, the same blue of the Chicago flag, with the big enlarged Bulls jersey on the front and some various, you know, trim of the other Bulls colors. So it's, you know, a similar thing. They have some red stars down the side. The players' names on the back are in white, the numbers in white with red trim, and then the Benny the Bull logo on the front, again, enlarged with essentially a blue-faced Benny with red detail, and the horns remain white with the red-tipped horns. But essentially, it's just very much a lot of the same monochromatic sky blue. And I don't love them. I think they're just kind of too one-dimensional. They're, you know, other than the detail of the, they say Bulls at the top center part of the shorts, and then matching the players' names on the back. On the front, you have the numbers down and to the left of where the Bull logo is, white numbers, red trim, but it's just a lot of blue. It's just a lot of that color, that specific, you know, sky blue shade that is just, it's too much of the same. It just kind of looks, you know, blah. And the red and white trim along the neck and the arms is, you know, it's nice, but it doesn't take away from the overwhelming amount of that sky blue that just doesn't really seem to make sense as a Bulls jersey. And to me, this is my favorite part of this unveiling of what I think is a pretty weak third year with the City Edition jerseys. The initial tweet from the Bulls, official Bulls Twitter account with these City Edition jerseys says the following. The blue base color of this season's City Edition jersey represents Lake Michigan and the two branches of the Chicago River. It's the first ever Bulls jersey featuring the logo on the front of the jersey. Of course, the logo meaning the Benny the Bull enlarged on the front of the jersey, as opposed to the front of the jersey saying either Bulls or Chicago. But that's not right. If you recall, the Bulls wore jerseys that were special Christmas Day edition jerseys when the NBA was doing the special jerseys for their slot of Christmas Day games back when the Bulls were decent enough and worth watching when they were pretty much in the Christmas Day lineup of games for several years in a row. 2013, the Bulls wore red jerseys with a big Benny the Bull logo on the front, and if you recall, they had short sleeves on them. There were the short sleeve jerseys with the big enlarged Benny the Bull on the front. So the Bulls official Twitter account falsely stated that these third editions of the City Edition jersey were the first ever to feature the logo on the front of the jersey. That's wrong. So I pointed this out. I saw in the comments several other people pointing this out with a picture of Derrick Rose. And as well as, like, you know, Derrick Rose, it was just a logo, you know, a promotional shot because, of course, Derrick Rose was hurt the year that they wore these. But Joakim Noah, you can find in-game pictures on Google. Just search Chicago Bulls Christmas Day jersey 2013. There are pictures everywhere of these Bulls or the Bulls of yesteryear. Joakim Noah, Mike Dunleavy, Carlos Boozer wearing these Christmas Day jerseys with the Bulls logo on the front. So, of course, the Chicago Bulls Twitter account recognizes that they've made this mistake, deletes the tweet, and then retweets it without that sentence about them being the first Bulls jersey with the logo on the front. It's laughable. Just when you think there is no other way for this team to just be, you know, facepalm, what the hell are you doing, incompetent. They can't even get the PR department to accurately describe the newness of their latest alternative jersey. It's like, you know, who's winning the award right now between the Bulls PR team and the Bulls medical staff for, you know, producing and spreading false information? They're neck and neck right now. It's hilarious. So, that's my take. I don't love this jersey. I think it is. It ranks a distant third behind their first and second City Edition jerseys. I think one was the best. Last season's was pretty good, but not as good as the first season's. And these are terrible. Not only are they terrible, but Bulls PR is spreading false information about them. Fan-bloody-tastic. But I have seen some people on Bulls Twitter already this morning that that like them. So would love to hear your thoughts if you have any specific opinions on these latest editions of the City Edition jersey the Bulls will wear tonight against Detroit for the first time this season. Shoot us a text or a voicemail, 331-979-1369, if you have any thoughts on these jerseys. Before we get to our mailbag content for the day, just wanted to give a shout out to our sponsors at Audible. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. Listening on the go? If you can't visit Audible right now, you can find this offer and all of our other offers from the Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcasts.com/offers. With that, let us get to some mailbag content for our Mailbag Wednesday episode. This one comes to us from the 702. Hey, what's up, guys? Would you consider a Lowry or Zach trade for Kuzma and maybe another player? Would I consider it? Yes. Do I think the Lakers consider it? No. Right now, and look, it's one of the player comps that has gotten a lot of attention on NBA Twitter over the last couple of seasons as people try and figure out who the best young talented players in the league are. And one of the ones that comes up a lot is, you know, who would you rather have, Lauri Markkanen or Kyle Kuzma? And I also see, who would you rather have, Zach LaVine or Kyle Kuzma? Bulls fans, for the most part, saying, are you kidding? No contest. Whether it's Lowry or Zach, I'd rather have them than Kuzma. Lakers fans, of course, with their bias saying, oh my gosh, it's Kuzma by a mile. Before this season started and before we've seen these struggles of Zach LaVine and Lowry Markkanen, I would have said confidently that I would rather have Zach LaVine and I would rather have Lowry Markkanen than I would Kyle Kuzma. Now I'm not so sure. Kuzma's a good young player. And I don't know right now if the Lakers would be interested in such a trade. I also think that the Bulls are going to wait a little bit and see if they can turn this around somewhat and get some wins before they panic and make a trade that right now I think would be a little hasty. But it takes two teams to make a trade. And right now, based on their play, I do not see the Lakers thinking it a wise move to send Kyle Kuzma away if what they're getting back is Zach LaVine or Lowry Markkanen. I don't necessarily think that they would see Markkanen as a need, even if he were playing up to the expectations of his first two seasons, which he is clearly not, because of the front court that they have. Maybe Zach LaVine could be seen as a more useful piece for them right now. I mean, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has been himself, a.k.a. disappointing. But Kuzma, I think the Lakers see as their third piece. I think it's very clear that they see Kuzma as the third musketeer to LeBron James and Anthony Davis right now. And credit to Dwight Howard, who's having a wonderful career resurgence in his second stint with the Lakers. He's been playing very well. He's important to that roster, too. But I would say, you know, if you ask the Lakers front office and you ask, you know, if you ask Vogel and his staff, who's the third most important piece on this team behind LeBron and Anthony Davis, I think you would get a rousing answer, one and the same from everyone, Kyle Kuzma. So as unfortunate it is for Bulls fans to face the reality of right now, I think that the Lakers would laugh and hang up if you tried to get Kuzma for either Zach or Lowry. And again, that could change. But based on the recency bias of what Zach and Lowry are playing like right now, can barely get into the fourth quarters of games because this team's head coach, warranted or not, trusts his bench more than the guys who are supposed to be the cornerstones of the team to close games. Why would the Lakers want either of those guys? And further yet, why would they give up their third most important piece to get one of those guys? So, apologies, 702. I think you're living in a fantasy world right now. Here's a funny one from the 404. Positive news for Markkanen. Mercury will no longer be in retrograde as of today. The slump will be over. Here's hoping, man. Whatever it takes to get Lowry out of this slump. Next up is Matt from Plainfield. Hey, guys. With how Gafford played in his first non-garbage time minutes, do you see him earning a part of the rotation moving forward? If so, how many minutes can we realistically see him playing? I don't think there's any way to answer this question other than without a doubt, yes. I mean, you never know with Boylan. This guy's rotations have been impossible to figure out. But knowing how much he wants to play his bench and knowing how much he wants to play a full rotation. For a while it was 10, then he shrunk it down to 9. Now it's back to 10 in their game on Monday. Gafford played well enough that you cannot take him out of that rotation. As far as how many minutes, he played 20 minutes in the game on Monday night. I would fully expect to see him get that many minutes. And think about tonight's matchup where you got the Pistons coming to town again. Andre Drummond had a 25-24 game the first time these teams played. The Bulls did get the win. They had a nice night from Zach. They had Otto's best night of the season when he poured in 22 points to help Zach get the Bulls win. And now you have the return of Blake Griffin, who came back and played in his first game back from the hamstring and the knee issues last Friday night. So you have that on top of Drummond. The Pistons are capable of abusing the Bulls on the boards, and I would assume that Gafford gets significant minutes again tonight, or at least he certainly should, and if he doesn't, we can ask Jim Boylan why the hell not. Text from the 773 says, Matt, you look like Freddie Mercury with that wicked mustache of yours. Thank you. I don't necessarily see the resemblance, but hey, man, I will take a Freddie Mercury comp any day of the week. Dude was a total badass. Personally, can't wait to shave the thing off my face. What are we at? November 20th? All right, 10 days. 10 days until Movember is over, which, by the way, if you're feeling generous, head over to my pinned tweet at the top of my Twitter page, Bulls_Peck, or head over to my Instagram account, and you can find the link to donate there in my Instagram bio. That's MeatPeck, MeatPeck. Thank you, though. Appreciate it. It's not been easy to have this silly thing on my face for the last few weeks. All right, next one comes from the 872. Hey guys, I had an interesting idea and wanted to run this by you to see how you feel. Would it be a bad idea to temporarily start Archie instead of Sato? I ask this for two reasons. Archie's been our most consistent offensive point guard. He's been on the team for a while and knows how to play with Zach, Lowry, and the rest of the starters. It could benefit them, seeing as Archie's actually going to threaten the opponent more so than Satoransky so far. Also, Sato has not settled in yet. Moving him to the bench could give the bench more length in the three-guard lineup, seeing as he can play the three and also allow Sato to exert himself more since there's less talent he's playing around. Similar to the case with the Wizards last year and his FIBA World Cup team. Once he finds a stride, we can switch back. That's an interesting idea. I'm sure a lot of Bulls fans out there are saying, interesting idea? Start Archie? Are you crazy? We don't even like the fact that Archie's playing entire fourth quarters. And I talked on yesterday's show about the correlation between Archie playing these huge minutes off the bench, 27 minutes, second most on the team in their game Monday night, including, once again, an entire fourth quarter, and what that says about Jim Boylan and who he can coach and who he can't coach. A try-hard coach and a try-hard player. That's why Archie and Boylan are connected at the hip. But it is also true that when you look at the numbers, Archie has been one of the most efficient players on this team. That's a scary thought. It's not a good thing when Archie's numbers and net ratings are significantly better than players like Zach and Lowry. That's not a good thing. But I don't think this texter's idea is crazy. Seems crazy, but it is true that Satoransky has been overwhelmingly a disappointment so far. He has shot the ball well when he has shot it. He has displayed at times that beautiful court vision he has, and has in some games racked up, you know, an impressive number of assists. But he has been inconsistent. Their game Monday night again, and it was like a complete duplicate performance of another recent game. He scored the Bulls' first 5 points and then never scored again the rest of the game. So maybe putting Satoransky into that second unit and allowing him to be just sort of like a floor general who can play off the ball. The point about him being able to play some minutes at the three is a good point, and it would give the Bulls more length in that second unit. And you could, I'd be curious to see him paired with Kobe White. Kobe White and Chris Dunn seem to have some level of chemistry so far, but maybe Satoransky and Kobe White could work together well too. And it's crazy that it's not crazy to say Archie has been this team's best point guard so far. That should be a crazy statement. And it's a testament to Archie, to his credit, playing well, and an indictment on the rest of the backcourt on this team that he, in fact, has been the most consistent guy on the floor. And Sato certainly seems to be not asserting himself in that first unit the way that we were all hoping he could just come in seamlessly and fit with this multi-ball handler system, complementing Zach Lowry the way that we expected it to out of the gate. It hasn't happened. Much like finally throwing Gafford into the rotation on Monday night, maybe Boylan says things aren't working. When your team is 4-10, things aren't working. So don't repeat the same stuff. Try new stuff. He tried new stuff by finally giving Gafford a chance Monday night. And we should expect to see Gafford continue to get minutes because he led the team in scoring off the bench on 10 of 12 from the field and provided that energy and that high motor kind of play that gets his teammates going that Boylan claims has been missing and been a big reason for their losses. So maybe Boylan changes things up some more. We'll see. But it's, again, it's crazy that it's not crazy that we have somebody texting us and saying, should Archie start? That's where the 4-10 Bulls are right now. Before we get to our remaining mailbag content for today's episode, wanted to give you a message from MyBookie. Attention, past, present, and future MyBookie players. During Thanksgiving week, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congrats. You've got extra holiday spending money. If you lose, congratulations to you as well, because MyBookie will give you all of your money back. It's a no-brainer because you literally cannot lose. It's no risk, all gravy. It doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer. MyBookie welcomes all to come play, so quit waiting around and sign up today. Do you find yourself wanting to bet on sports but have lots of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the whole process. And the best part is, if you join during this Thanksgiving week, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. Just log on to mybookie.ag and make your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA. And MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll. And that's on top of the risk-free bet. Let me repeat. That's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for Thanksgiving only. So if you're a true football fan, you don't want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply cannot lose. Make sure you do your part to support your team this season. Hop on the gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, a texter from the 815 says, I think I would take a chance at Gafford chucking threes more so than Lowry at this point. At least Gafford is not a defensive liability. Scary thought. I don't blame you. Clearly, Gafford is a old school traditional center who has no outside game whatsoever. But it is... It's impossible to ignore just how insanely cold Lowry has been shooting the ball this season. It hasn't just been his weak interior play. You know, he's like going up for dunks but jumping too early and not even coming close. He's shying away from contact. He's not aggressive as he has looked in recent seasons, and just the fact that he's ice cold from three. It's like it's a compounding issue where Lowry just looks unplayable at a lot of the time. As far as Gafford not being a defensive liability, he clearly has more ability to protect the rim than Lowry has displayed. I mean, some of the drives where Giannis just backed down and bullied Lowry in the second Bulls Bucks game of the season on Monday was just, I mean, it's laughable. It's like, you know, Giannis treated Lowry like he wasn't even there, and Lowry treated himself like he wasn't even there. Meanwhile, we saw Gafford block a aggressive Giannis who was trying to, you know, just kind of coast up to the rim and hit a nice like floater instead of one of Giannis's many dunks on the night. And Gafford came in from the weak side to help and swatted it away. One of his two blocks on the night. I think Gafford, like Lowry, is limited defensively when he's asked to guard along the perimeter, because Gafford just doesn't have that, you know, that lateral quickness yet. So I think they're parallel there, but I think it is not at all false to claim that right now Gafford can give you much better rim protection than Lowry has shown so far this season. I think that's absolutely a fair assessment. This one comes to us from the 630. Hey guys, love the show. I was thinking, how would you feel about trading Zach LaVine, Felicio, and maybe Denzel with two first round picks for Bradley Beal? Then trying to convince Otto to opt out and sign Anthony Davis. Then re-sign Otto to a longer-term deal. I feel having Bradley Beal a real star would help convince Anthony Davis to come here rather than trying to sell him on young talent. Wow. Okay. Lot to unpack there. It is certainly a rising trend among Bulls fans suggesting that we trade Zach LaVine. He's a one-way player. He doesn't play well with his teammates. Despite the scoring, he's been a net negative player, more nice than not, and he appears to shrivel in crunch time. We saw that again Monday night. So I understand this rising urge to trade Zach LaVine because Bulls fans think he's not the answer. Personally, I would agree. Right now, he does not look like a player who could be the best player on a competitive team. He doesn't. Flat out, he doesn't. I thought that we were about to see an all-star season from Zach. And he was talking up a big game about improving his defense this offseason. And so far, we just haven't seen it. He looks like the same bad defense, one-way player that we saw last year. And in fact, it looks like in some ways he's regressed. So I understand the trade chatter that's coming in from all these directions. Other than that, I don't see any reality to this texter and their suggestion. Other than, yes, based on where the Wizards are now, shopping Beal and starting over might be in their best interest. And that's why there's a lot of Bradley Beal trade chatter already going on around the league. So that I understand. But convince Otto to opt out, then re-sign Otto to a longer-term deal after signing Anthony Davis. I mean, there's been some talk about whether or not Otto would want to opt out this year because he could get a equal or close to equal contract for a fresh set of several years as opposed to just opting in and taking another huge payday. I still personally think that Otto's going to opt in and take a huge payday unless this Bulls team is so atrocious that he just doesn't want to play here anymore. Obviously, that would alter if Otto knows, well, I can play alongside Anthony Davis. Maybe that changes things up. But maybe Otto says, you know what, I'm going to go somewhere else. This ain't working. But, I mean, the crux of all of this suggestion, outside of the Wizards deciding to deal Beal and the Bulls getting involved, Anthony Davis, I don't know why you're banking on him coming here. I understand the theory that if the Bulls, before pitching Davis, get Bradley Beal and say, here is a legit star in his prime you can come play with, that helps the pitch for Anthony Davis compared to anything the Bulls have now. Because the Bulls can't pitch Anthony Davis with anything they have now. This team looks like trash. So I understand that part of the theory. I still don't think the Bulls, with Bradley Beal, is enticing for Anthony Davis. We also know that Anthony Davis does prefer to play power forward over center. And in this hypothetical trade where you're shopping Zach LaVine, Felicio, and maybe Denzel with some picks to Washington, that means Lauri Markkanen is still theoretically here on this roster. So do you turn Lauri into a bench player? Pair Wendell and Anthony Davis? I would assume that is what our texter is implying. Maybe. Oh, and there's just one other problem. Zach LaVine, Felicio, and maybe Denzel with two first-round picks? Come on. Felicio? Denzel? The guys racking up DNP coaches' decisions on this team? Obviously, the real pieces of that trade that you're proposing are Zach LaVine and two first-round picks. I think you're just trying to piece together too many, you know, fantasy land scenarios here. I don't see it. I mean, would I like to see all of these things happen? The Bulls get Bradley Beal. The Bulls convince Otto to sign on a long-term deal that's cheaper, that affords them to bring in Anthony Davis. Yes, that would just be grand and wonderful. And as long as we're dreaming, I'd love $1 billion. Not going to happen. I like where your head's at, though. Think it outside the box. Keep them coming. Here's another one. Hypothetical trade scenario. We'll do this one, and then we'll get out of here. What do you guys think about trading for Aaron Gordon? This one's from the 312. I honestly would rather keep Zach than Lowry. He's much more proven, and Lowry does have potential, but his development is troublesome. He still looks like a rookie at times in year three. With that being said, what about pairing Lowry, Otto, maybe Valentine for Aaron Gordon and Terrence Ross plus a second? I think this is a more realistic trade than the one we were just talking about. I don't know if I love Aaron Gordon that much, though. And again, I mentioned this in recent episodes when we're talking about these underwhelming performances from Lowry. I think something's up. I think Lowry is, yes, in a shooting slump. I also think he is playing through an injury right now. And I think that this offensive system that the Bulls are running is part of the reason he looks like he's regressing. And I don't want to sell Lauri Markkanen until we get Jim Boylan the fuck out of here and get a real coach. Get a real coach before you give up on Lauri Markkanen. Aaron Gordon, he's a fine player. But I don't want to give up on Lowry in order to get Aaron Gordon, who I don't think moves the needle all that much. I really don't. So I think this trade is more realistic. Do I think the Bulls would like that trade? Getting Gordon, Ross, maybe thrown in a second for Lowry, Otto, and Valentine? I don't know if the Bulls are ready to give up on Lowry like that. They're going to need some scapegoats if the season continues on this downward spiral like it is. And right now, we know that the Bulls tend to, you know, despite treating the coaches the way they treat their coaches, we're going to fire you, you know, the week before Christmas, and we're going to drag your name through the mud as we send you out of town while we bring in this new guy that we say is going to solve all our problems. They equally drag players' names through the mud when they send them out of town. anyone but ourselves when it comes to the Bulls management and ownership as far as who's to blame. Anyone but ourselves. Can we blame the coach? Let's do that. Can we blame the players? Let's do that. So they might panic and make a trade this season before the deadline coming up next February. But I don't think that they are going to panic trade Lowry or Zach until they really believe that neither of them can help this team moving forward. Aaron Gordon, to me, is not an intriguing enough piece if I'm the Bulls front office to say I'm giving up on Lowry Markkanen. That's just my personal opinion, though. I do think this trade is at least in the realm of reality as opposed to the shuffling, let's trade for Beal, get Otto to opt out, convince Anthony Davis to come, and all that stuff from the previous one. But these are fun. Keep them coming. I know that Bulls fans are thinking a lot about potential trades right now because it seems like this core and this duo of Lowry and Zach is not working. So Bulls fans are starting to think, all right, well, what can we do? Who can we bring in? Who can we send out to fix some of this stuff? But again, to me, a lot of that is premature when you realize who's coaching this team. And I don't want to panic trade somebody knowing that a lot of this team's problems, in my opinion, are coming from the head coach's chair. That's just me. So that doesn't mean we can't talk wildly about trade hypotheticals. It's a fun part. It's a way to keep our minds occupied and out of the gutter when we're enduring games like this and a start to the season like this. So that's it for today. Thanks for all of your mailbag questions and comments. Appreciate all of you. Keep them coming. Hopefully we'll do some more mailbag content on Friday or maybe next Monday to clean out all of those voicemails because you guys keep them coming. And we appreciate that. In case you missed it, one of our episodes at the tail end of last week, I think it was either Friday or maybe we released a special on Saturday, we did like all exclusively voicemails episode. So if you haven't listened to that yet, go back and listen to it. Jordan and I were together on the mics and took a bunch of your voicemails. So go check that out if you haven't already. And we'll try to get some more voicemails later in the week or early next week. So for my partner, Jordan Malley, for our sponsors, Audible, MyBookie, Matt Peksank, thanks so much for listening. Follow us on Twitter, Bulls_Peck, Jordan C. Malley, Locked On Bulls. That text to voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Always there for you. And of course, for those of you tuning in, I will see you tonight after the Bulls fight the Pistons on Bulls Outsiders, following postgame live on NBC Sports Chicago. Until tomorrow, Bulls fans, take it easy. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com